To you who believe, this stone is precious. The builders of this world have not yet seen the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as they are concerned, he's still for the dumpster.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, what we just heard is referencing 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone."
Can you just picture that? Here's these guys on the building site, and they look at this stone. Oh, that's not a good stone. We'll throw it in the dumpster. And then the building manager comes along and says, "What have you done with my stone?" "Oh, what stone? You know, it's there in the dumpster." And he takes it out and he says, no, that's the crowning stone. It's going to be in the most glorious position. That's the picture that Peter uses about Christ. You know, his name is used as blasphemy every day all around the world. He's in the dumpster as far as this world is concerned. Mm-hmm. But the one that we crucified, God has raised up, and he's the Lord of glory. And that's why he's precious in the sight of those who love him, and why our worship's always directed to Christ.
It is, and we began to look at that last time with a message entitled New Purpose. We continue that today, so if you can, open your Bible, join us in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. Here's Pastor Colin.
Look again at verse 5, if you would, please. "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." You're to be a holy priesthood. Now, the normal assumption in our culture is that anybody can come to God at any time and in any way that they choose. The Old Testament teaches us precisely the opposite. In the Old Testament, the priests were the only ones who had access to God. And the priests were a very, very exclusive group. If you wanted to be a priest in the Old Testament, you had to be a male descendant of the line of Aaron. So a Scottish man would have no chance. A Swedish woman, no chance. A very, very exclusive group. You couldn't walk into the inner courts of the temple in the Old Testament any more than you could walk into the Oval Office in the White House today. The priests had all the action. They went into the inner area of the temple. Even if I brought a sacrifice, I would bring the animal and I would give it to the priest, and the priest would offer it to God. It was all done at an arm's distance. You see, it was a very, very exclusive group. So, the idea that anyone could come to God at any time is completely foreign to the Old Testament. Worship in the Old Testament was essentially a spectator event. The priests did all the action. They burned the incense, they offered the sacrifices, they did the washing of the hands in the bowl and the basin, and so forth and so on. The role of the people was simply to watch. Now, the reason that it was like this in the Old Testament was very simply that the way of access to God had not yet been opened up. The Old Testament was merely illustrating what would happen when the Lord Jesus Christ came. And even in the Old Testament, God's promise was that one day all of God's people would be priests. In fact, they'd be more than priests. They would be royal priests. You have that phrase in verse 9 there. And there was nothing like that ever happened in the Old Testament, because a king was never a priest and a priest was never a king. Both the kings and the priests were obviously very exclusive groups, limited to a very, very few people. But God is saying, now he will bring these two together and he will give all of his people the privilege of being kings and priests. He will give them authority. That's what's with kings. He will give them access. That's what's with priests. And with that authority to live the new life and the power of the Spirit and that access to God, there will be a royal priesthood, not of a few, but of many, of all of God's people, who will offer worship to the living God. Now, Peter writes to ordinary Christian believers here. And he says, as you come to Christ, as we're worshiping here in the body of Christ, here's what God is doing. He's not only making his presence known among us and through us, but he is making us into a holy priesthood. See, as we come to worship week by week, as we serve the Lord together, God does a very wonderful thing. He turns observers into participants. Now, you see, when you first become a Christian, this whole business of worship can seem very strange. It seems like it's something that other people are doing. You know, there's a choir and musicians and a pastor, and there are prayers and songs, and they pass around a collection plate, and there's a Bible reading, and there's a sermon. But as we come to Christ, week by week, and we're engaging in the body of Christ, this wonderful miracle takes place in which the Holy Spirit will turn an individual from being an observer to being a participant. You are a priest of God. You're not here, if you're a Christian believer, to watch others worship. You're here as a priest of God to participate in worship. And as you discover what it is that God has made you to be, you will find that you are able to sing. You see, at first, for many of us, we just come into a congregation like this, and we stand when the congregation stands, and we kind of observe other people sing, and we listen to the good singers at the front and so forth. But you will find that one of the wonderful things that God is doing in the gathered community of his people is that as you're born again and as you're pursuing the life of holiness, you will find that you sing also. You'll sing in heaven. You can begin on earth. You will find that you're able to pray. You will find that you can take the words that are offered in a public service like this, and you can use your own soul almost like a mirror, so that as you hear the words and they come to you, you are able to reflect them as your own prayer up to God. The words are given to you, but you offer them as your prayer. That's very different from just sitting and listening. It's like the difference between sitting at school and studying a love poem and then taking that love poem and using it in a letter to your fiancé. The two are entirely different things. The one is observation. The other involves participation. You will find that you want to give. You may have come and the passing of the plate, the offering as part of worship has been utterly meaningless to you. You've seen it something that relates to other people. You've never thought that there would be any connection to you. But then you begin to see that what God is doing through the gathering of his people in worship and service and ministry is to make his presence known in this community. And you say, you know, if that's what it is, I want to be part of it in every way that I can, in every dimension. Let me be part of it in giving. Let me be part of it in serving. Let me be part of it in singing. Let me be part of it in my offering, my worship as one of the priests in this gathered congregation. Think of it. In this one place, this one gathering of the Lord's people today, there has been worship ascending from nearly 2,000 priests. You say, what can we offer? A holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices. No place for animal sacrifices, of course. The Lord Jesus has laid down his life for our sins. He shed his blood. But we're being asked to offer spiritual sacrifices. Praise coming from your lips. Gratitude. Service. Giving, sharing, acts of kindness, acts of mercy, hospitality. Think of that. That as part of manifesting the presence of God in this place, there will be some folks who say, you know, there's a lot of things I can't do, but one thing I can do is cook a good meal and open my home And I could do that to an overseas student over this next year and build a relationship with someone who comes from a country where they may find great difficulty in finding any community of believers, but through my home they might find the presence of Jesus. That's part of the ministry of the body of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. And what we offer, the Lord accepts through Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called New Purpose, part of a series from 1 Peter called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And maybe you joined us late, or you have to leave early, or you miss a broadcast in its entirety, or you just want to go back and listen again. You can always do that at our website. It's openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You could also listen on the go if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free. You'll find it at your favorite app store. You can listen to this daily radio program, our weekly program, and a lot more. Again, you'll find the app at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Again, here is Pastor Colin.
This is what the Lord is doing through congregations, communities of people who are born again, pursuing a life of holiness, who gather for worship and for service to Him. God says, I make my presence known. You become like the temple multiplied throughout the earth, a community where my presence is known. You become a community of priests. I gradually draw one in another as new life comes to you from being an observer into being a participant in the worship of God. And thirdly, God's praise is declared. Peter now returns to this theme of the stone. And he quotes three statements from the Old Testament all about stones. And it's very significant because you remember that the name Peter means rock. Remember that Jesus gave Peter that name? You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So, statements in the Bible about rocks seem to be very important to Peter. And I think that it is very significant, therefore, you see, that Peter is the one in the New Testament who says to every believer, now as you come to him, you are being built like living stones into the spiritual house. In other words, what Peter is saying, what Jesus said to me is true of every believer indwelt by the Spirit of God as we gather together to worship Him. Well, now notice how Peter takes up these other statements about stones. Verse 7. To you who believe, this stone, that's Jesus, is precious. But to those who don't believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And let's use our imagination for a few moments to try and get into this picture that Peter is using to communicate. Imagine a building site. And on this building site, there are stones of various shapes and sizes that are lying all around. The builders arrive, and they gather up some stones, they bring them to the foreman who sorts out what's going to go into place in the walls in the next day. Yes, we can use this one, he says. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, put that one over there. And then there's this strangely shaped stone. And the foreman picks it up and he says, oh, that's useless. No place for that. And he kicks it down the hill. And it rolls down the hill to the driveway at the bottom where other houses have already been completed. And there it comes to rest. A few moments later, there's a lad on a bicycle and he's delivering the newspapers. And, you know, he's doing the thing. He's pulling the paper out of the bag and he's flinging them up the driveways of these various homes. And he's whistling away and he's got his headphones on and, you know, all that stuff. And as he's going along on his bike, you know what happens next? The front wheel goes slam into this big rock that's now lying in the street. He goes right over the rock. He lands over the top of his handlebars, breaks his glasses and all the rest of it. The foreman comes down. Gets the boy back on his feet, dusts him down, and then he picks up the rock. Stupid rock! And he takes it and he flings it in the dumpster. Get rid of it. Nothing but trouble. Later that week, the mason arrives. There's an arch at the entrance of this new home that's being built, and he has come to lay the capstone on the pillars. "Where's my stone?" says the mason. "Well, there are stones lying all around here, can't you see?" say the builders. No, I mean the stone. I mean the stone that was specially cut for the arch. It's been particularly shaped. There is not one any other that is like it. I sent it here personally to the site. Where is it?" Well, the builders are beginning to get a bit embarrassed. Well, actually, Joe here, he kicked it down the hill and Phil threw it in the dumpster. "You did what? You took the capstone and you threw it in the dumpster? Well, we couldn't see any use for it." The mason goes into the dumpster and begins to dig with his own bare hands. As he gets down 2 or 3 feet, there he finds the capstone, unbroken, in the dumpster. He lifts it out. He holds it high. "This is the stone," he says. The builders are looking at the ground. They feel like fools. The mason takes it and he places it on top of the pillars where everyone will see it and everyone will admire it. Now, take that picture. That's what Peter is using to communicate to us from the scriptures here. The people God commissioned to build his house have rejected Jesus, the living stone. Many people stumble over him. He is, verse 8, a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Jesus is not what many people are looking for. They stumble over his claims. They stumble over his call. But God has chosen him, and God has highly exalted him. Verse 7, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone. And to you who believe, this stone is precious. The builders of this world have not yet seen the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. As far as they are concerned, he's still for the dumpster. But, says God, you don't believe that. You who've been born again and are pursuing the path of holiness, you who gather here together for worship, you know that he is seated at the right hand of God. We're the community of those who believe that he's the Son of God. We've put our trust in him, and verse 7, that trust will not be disappointed. That's why Peter says in verse 9, you are the chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of his darkness and into his wonderful light. Now you see, the gathered community of people who love and trust Jesus are the only ones in the world who can do this. In a world that has trashed Jesus, God calls communities of people who love him together to declare his glory. This task cannot be delegated. Only those who are born again by the Spirit can do this. Only those who are pursuing a life of holiness can do this. Only those who gather to worship the name of the Lord Jesus can do this. But when it happens, God says, my presence will be known, my promise will be fulfilled, and my praise will be declared. And of course, that's the motivating passion of all our worship and all our service, all our activity, all of our ministry in the life of this church. job one of the church, to glorify God. We're not here to amuse ourselves or to entertain ourselves. We are here to glorify Him. God has said, let there be communities. Communities of people with one consuming passion, the praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let these be communities of people who are born again to a living hope, who are pursuing the path of holiness, and who gather together, learning to love one another, and to praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to give themselves in service for Him. Let these communities be communities of people who exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they do that, I will come to them. I will manifest my presence among them. I will turn observers into participants. And my praise will be declared by them on the earth. Lord, make us such a community of your people. For the glory of your name and for the blessing of this city.
Don't you just want to say amen to that? What a great way to wrap up this message from Pastor Colin. It's called New Purpose, and it's part of a larger series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. So if I were to ask you, what are the 10 things that you need to know when you become a Christian, to really get you rooted and grounded in the gospel message and in a relationship with Jesus, what would you say? Where would you go to in the Bible to begin to learn that? You know, you could jump around here and there all throughout the Bible, but maybe a simpler idea is to go to one book of the Bible that covers all the themes that a new believer needs to know to be grounded in the faith. And the book of 1 Peter does just that. It gives us the new purpose that you have for your life as a child of God, new freedom that you enjoy in the Christian life, and new confidence that you can have as a believer. Those are just a few of the topics that are covered in the book of 1 Peter. And Pastor Colin has written a book based on this. It's actually also based on this audio series that we're listening to right now on the radio. It's called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And it really eliminates the guesswork of what you need to know as you begin a relationship with Jesus. Another great thing, as you begin to study this one book of the Bible, then you learn how to study the Bible, and you can begin to continue to dig in and learn the Bible going forward. Well, we would love to send you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, as our thank you gift to you this month. Being a listener-supported ministry, we do depend on your generosity, but as you send a gift, we want to send you 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. As we've already said, it's based on the book of 1 Peter. But Colin, who is the book written for?
Well, if you have recently come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is certainly a book that was written for you. Or perhaps you feel that you need to get grounded in the basics of the Christian life. What does it mean to be a Christian and to live the Christian life? Well, you know, there's a whole book in the New Testament that was written really to answer that question. And it's the letter of 1 Peter. It's just 5 chapters, so it's quite short. But what's significant about it is that while some of the other letters in the New Testament were written to particular churches, like the letter to Romans or Corinthians or Ephesians and so forth, this letter was just written to believers in general who were scattered in lots of different places. And by definition, because this is the early church, they were all new believers. And what Peter is doing in this letter is helping them to get established in the faith. It's a wonderful letter. And this book just takes a person through the basics of the Christian faith from the first letter of Peter. And I hope that it's going to be really helpful to many, Steve.
Well, the book is called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, and it is our thank you gift to you as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. You can find out more or give online by coming to our website, openthebible.org, or call us at 877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or again, openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening. and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. How can you get free from the things that bind you? Find out on the next Open the Bible.